Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/modern. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hey everybody, and welcome to our new year with episode number 15 of the Star Wars Book Club podcast.
What?
I know. What a fresh new year it is. I am your host, Blake Schultz. Joining me as always is Harley Salbaca.
Hey, hey, hey.
And Tyler Berry.
You know, I was thinking we should do a new podcast called Meals on Wheels, where we just review food trucks.
Isn't Meals on Wheels like the food that is like delivered to elderly people when they need aid?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
That
was part of the joke. That was damn the it.
Joke. I'm done. No, Tyler.
We're
I got
really
it.
Kicking off 2016 in a shitty way.
I thought it was a great way.
The Tyler. Joke was good, but then you had to explain it.
Tyler, I got the joke. I appreciated it. It was funny.
Thank
it was
you.
So funny.
At least someone believes in me.
Oh man, how's everybody doing? Laugh. It was, wasn't it? Wasn't it great? Made it back from not horrible, but windy Chicago just in time for our show.
Yeah, you were late.
After my 20-hour delay at O'Hare.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh my gosh.
But now
it's a bigger delay than the C-3PO book got.
I know.
Boom.
Oh, I was in line for longer than my flight to LA would have been to rebook.
That's
wow.
Ridiculous,
yeah.
Man.
It was bananas. But anyways...
to answer your question, I'm great.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty great.
Christmas
too.
Was awesome.
Yeah. Good. Yes. 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 Yes.
I got a gold C-3PO dress. So.
Yeah, I saw you. Nice. You were putting it on your Instagram for New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I couldn't figure out if you were just like, it's gold like C-3PO, or if it was a C-3PO dress. That
my
was...
mother literally gave it to me on Christmas, and when I opened it, she's like, it's a C-3PO dress. Like not literally, but because it's all gold. And I was like, Mom, you get me.
Now, does it come with spray paint like 000 has so that you can just change colors when you need to real fast?
No, but her Instagram pictures came with a bunch of dudes making lewd comments, I'm sure.
Story
you know
of
what would have been awesome,
Instagram?
Harley, is if you had worn that dress and a big, long, like, old Hollywood
okay.
red glove that comes up
See,
to your elbows.
Oh, that would have been great.
I thought about that. I literally thought about that. And literally my old roommate back from college... she commented on it, and she was like, instead of having a red arm, you have red hair, so you're still, like, the current C-3PO. And I was like, you're awesome.
And then whenever people were like...
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And then if everyone was ever like, what's going on with your arm? You'll just be like, I'll explain it to you in 4 months. After
not,
a delay.
Not the journey to the Force Awakens.
Right. Oh, man. But,
Anger. Still angry about that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Let's talk about something happy.
Well...
Well, that's a terrible segue into what we're about to talk about.
That was
about.
Not the segue I was hoping for. Should we do bits a little bit longer until we can get a better one?
Do you know what I got for Christmas, guys?
What?
What?
I got a Boba Fett watch.
Thank you.
And I got a Boba Fett bomber jacket.
There you go.
And I got Boba Fett underwear.
Speaking of Boba Fett, it'll melt carbonite would be the tagline I imagined for the underwear one. It's fine, I'll leave.
Really? You thought that was a better way to segue into what we need to talk about?
Oh my gosh. Oh
well,
my gosh.
So I got, what did I get for Christmas? Oh, I got the Darth Vader PlayStation 4 controller from my lovely
what?
Girlfriend who's in the next room right now. And
That's
it's awesome. It's really
oh my
sweet.
Gosh.
It totally doesn't do anything different than a regular PS4 controller, but it has Darth Vader colors, and the whole touchpad is embedded with just the Star Wars logo over and over
oh,
again,
that's
and it's
cool.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
And, like, half of the buttons are red and half of the buttons are blue. Ugh, it's great.
Yeah.
I got Darth Vader chapstick, too.
Nice.
There you go.
Stocking.
I actually didn't get
any. I got Star Wars jelly beans for my mom.
Oh, that's
I got
dope.
Those too.
Did you?
Yeah.
The sparkling, the
yes,
little sparkling
yes,
jelly belly
yes,
ones?
Yes, yes, yes.
They're so delicious, too.
I haven't
I had
tried
some,
them yet.
Oh, they're so good. I had some last night.
Do you still have some?
But hell yeah, I have some.
Are we going to have them after
the
podcast?
Yeah, you can have some after the podcast. You can have some, but that means then I have to come over to your house and have some of yours.
That's fine.
Okay, cool.
Excellent. A pot or a jelly bean for a jelly bean.
So
all
Boba
right.
Fett stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I tried to work in a better segue.
Yeah. They're really,
I just wanted to get away from the panties melting carbonite thing that you tried to do because that was horrendous.
And now it's back in our minds. But speaking of Boba Fett stuff and a sadder topic for our podcast to start off with, but Jason Wingreen, the original voice of Boba Fett, has passed away on Christmas Day, from what I was reading.
At the ripe age of 95.
Which, long.
Lived a good life, clearly. Clearly.
All very natural, nothing like, as sad as death always is, but it was nothing like, oh no, it was, he went peacefully the best
Which
way.
Which is good.
Yeah.
But he'll be immortalized forever.
Well, that's just the great thing about him, and it almost makes it even more disappointing now that that's happened, that they've gone back and changed his voice in the show. And I was also reading something that apparently he didn't get any residuals for being Boba Fett. Like, they used it in all the, like, the toys and everything. He did not get, like, much of anything. I actually got to meet him once when I was really, really young.
Yeah, I want to hear this story. I've never heard this story before.
It's a really weird story, and I think I still have the signature, but I'm not sure. I'd have to try to dig it up after the house burned down last year. Everything's in boxes. But my neighbor at the time was starting this. At the time, I thought it was cool, but saying it out loud now, it's a really weird side business where he basically would put, like, balloons on, like, fishing lines, and he would basically just use the balloons as kites. And that was pretty much the end of it. He just had these one. But he started doing a bunch of Star Wars ones, and it got into, like, a few local parades, and then it got into a Chicago parade, just these little, like, just balloons that were up with whatever, like, merchandising it would have. And he wanted to do a Boba Fett and an R2-D2 one. And while he was, like, promoting it, he actually managed to get Jason Wingreen and the guy who was inside R2-D2 to just, like, come and, like, check out the product. Like, they saw it and thought it was cool and were, like, in town. And we went over. Like, he just did it outside of his garage. And I was just over and he was there. And, like, he just shook our hands. It was super nice. And was like, these are really cool balloons. Like, it was... There was nothing like, it wasn't, there was no Star Wars things about it except for that, but he was just like, this is some cool stuff. I bet kids would have a lot of fun with this. Neat.
That's
and then
awesome.
Shook her hand,
really
signed
cool.
some stuff, and then I remember R2-D2's was like, oh, blah, 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 Blake, so glad you're a fan. Love, love. And on the other side of the card, it just says, don't listen to him. Do the dark side, Jason Wingreen.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, that's the best.
That's great,
that's
man.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
That was my small little memory of him. But speaking of memories, guys, what was your favorite either Boba Fett moment in the movies or anything about that character that... Because he resonates through the whole franchise. Like,
he really does. And I think my favorite moment, just a sad moment, it really was his origin in the prequels.
Oh.
The best part of the prequels for me was him. His moment with his dad, where after his dad died, and like the shot where it's him holding
the
helmet to his forehead, that was when I went, oh man.
And what a great like sequence in that too. Like I do love that whole moment where he's like, Jango doesn't go down. Like he whoops Obi-Wan, and then when he goes up against Mace Windu, the only reason he actually fails is because his backpack gets busted and he doesn't realize it. So when he tries to make the getaway, it just doesn't work, and then just. Like, that was a good sequence. And that shot, did you ever notice, and I've never gone back and looked because it's an Attack of the Clones, but I heard that if you like pay attention to when he actually gets lopped, the shadow shows the helmet and then like another, like the shadow of like the head falls out. And that's why when he picks up the helmet,
really?
Like a skull doesn't fall out. But yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which makes sense. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody, like, for all of any faults we have with the prequels, George Lucas was apparently, like, over everyone's shoulder about every detail. And it wouldn't surprise me if he was like, well, the head would have fallen out of the thing. So put that in there so that no one goes, why isn't the head coming out when he holds the helmet?
I've seen Force Awakens 4 times now.
Are you talking about the Mandalorian symbol on Maz Kanata's house?
Yes.
I noticed it when the first time I saw it, and I looked at my girlfriend, and I was like, that's the symbol of Boba Fett's people. It's the symbol of Boba. It's going to go down. Stuff's going to go down in this bar.
Yep.
Yeah. And also the one, the first little droid that reports them. If you look at his colors, it's Boba Fett's colors.
I noticed that the last time I saw it, which was actually last night with my girlfriend.
Did you notice when she touches the lightsaber and she has the flashbacks and you see the Knights of Ren? Did you notice that the person standing to Kylo Ren's left, you only see it for a second. I mean, it's in shadow, looks like it's Boba Fett.
Really? No, I did not notice that.
I had to watch it. I noticed it the third time I saw it, and the fourth time I literally straight up watched for it, and I was like, no, it's the same shape of the helmet.
It's interesting that you say that, because in Aftermath, in the book, there's a chapter of it that it doesn't really have a lot to do with what's going on in that book, but a lot of things in that book don't have what's a lot to go on in that book. Mm-hmm. But it's this chapter on Tatooine, and it's these, like, people are raiding, like, a Jawa sandcrawler, and they find armor. And they don't explicitly be like, and then they found Boba Fett's armor. But they're like, it's scarred. It has, like, digestive acid stains on it. Mm. There's a jetpack. It has it just goes into all this detail. Yeah. And then it's, like, the red, the green, the gray. And it's like, oh, someone's got his armor.
Yeah.
So as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, well, I don't know if that would be Boba Fett, but it might be.
Yeah, I don't know if it's, because someone was like, well, it can't be Boba Fett, he's old. I'm like, I'm not saying it's Boba Fett, I'm just saying it's someone who is wearing, like, the
Mandalorian armor.
Yeah, like, I mean, I was like, well, because, I mean, Jango obviously had the same armor in different colors. Like, it's someone wearing the same style of armor who is part of the Knights of Ren. And someone was like, well, no, but they're Jedis. I'm like, no, they're not. And they're like, no, but the other Jedi is the ones who rebelled. I'm like, no, stop. I've seen it four times. They say that only one person is the one who goes against him and kills everybody. And I was like, the people standing with Kylo Ren in that scene aren't other people that Luke has been training necessarily.
Also, I imagine if there were a bunch of other Siths, it's also people. It's like the one thing that I keep being like, guys, whenever someone's like, oh, I bet there's like 20 Siths. I'm like, no, you're forgetting every movie. There's only two. They say it so many times. So often, it would be like if you're like, I don't know how they're going to blow up the Death Star. And you'd be like, the way they've done it three times. They're going to hit the core. There's only two Sith.
To be fair, the third time they didn't hit the core.
That's true. They did it a different way.
It's true.
I actually raised that point to somebody the other day because they were like, oh, they did the exact same thing. And I was like, no, before they blew it up by hitting the core and going through an exhaust pipe. And this time they basically just blew up the infrastructure so that it would collapse in on itself. So
pretty different.
It's not exactly like A New Hope. It's just kind of like it.
Also, people are like,
I love it because that was the conversation you and I had to have because you were like, oh, well, this. And I was like, well, and then you were like, right.
Yeah.
The conversation I've had with people where they're like, I can't believe they did like it's basically another Death Star. And I was like, well, but if you were like a superpower, right? You were this big, powerful country and you built a weapon and then a bunch of stupid rebels came and destroyed it. Would you just not build another weapon?
I brought that up on another one. Our other podcast, Hollywood Already Did It. And I was like, I played Devil's Advocate with myself, but I was like, oh, that makes sense. You would keep, our army keeps doing that.
Yeah, I'm Russian.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, that was actually a good point. That was a really good point.
Build another.
But circling back to Boba Fett, and then we'll get a little bit more on it.
What's Tyler's moment?
The same. His origin, with the whole Jango Fett thing in the prequels. Like, as much as I don't really care for the prequels, that was like one of the defining moments of those movies for me was just that like Boba Fett origin story.
Yeah.
I think mine is actually it has to be in Empire. But when his first big moment, when like the Falcon takes off in the asteroid belt and then you just see the Slave One detach, I remember just being like, oh, this is a smart.
Also, the Slave One is just such a badass.
What
looking
a cool
ship, dude.
Yeah. Ship! Everything, and that was the best part about Boba Fett. I think, well, obviously, the way he affected the franchise and everybody else wasn't from like the deep story or the deep dialogue or anything else. It was just like, look how cool that all of that is. It evoked. You wanted to know everything about it because you were just like, he's quiet, he doesn't talk, he takes out Han Solo, who's been like the badass this entire time. He has a cool ship and cool armor and a cool gun. And everything he says is so like big. Like even when it is small, like even when he's talking to Vader, he also doesn't back down to Vader. Like when Vader's like, I put it in carbonite, and he's like, he's worth a lot to me.
Yeah.
Which I think is my favorite of his five lines is he's worth a lot to me.
Yeah.
You're no good to me, Dad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's so good. I also always liked, and somebody pointed out to me in Jedi, I can't remember who his old friend, I don't know who it is anymore, But when Leia does the...
Someone you abandoned.
Probably. Someone I left alone somewhere on an island surrounded by water.
You've done it so much.
Right. But she pulls out the thermal detonator when she's in her Bausch outfit. And Jabba laughs and is like, that's my kind of bounty hunter. Fearless and inventive or whatever it is. And it cuts to Boba Fett and he puts down his weapon and nods. And a friend of mine was like, did you see that? He has so much respect for that bounty hunter now because of Jabba just being like, this is the person I want. And then it cuts to Boo's probably his top guy. He has to go, all right, they win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So cool.
Respect.
Yeah, so sad. But he will, if there's anybody who's going to live on in a legacy, it is anybody attached to this franchise. So it's at least.
No doubt. No doubt.
Like, people will know that. All right, we'll take a quick breather. We'll give everybody a moment of silence for Jason Wingreen. And when we come back, we'll be getting into some Obi-Wan and Anakin, and we'll be back. Everybody, and welcome back to the Star Wars Book Club podcast. We are going to get into what has been my most anticipated comic for a while from Star Wars, because it has my all-time favorite Star Wars character from all six movies when he shows up.
Jar Jar Binks.
Ah, finally.
favorite.
All I want to know is what does Maxi Bid the Force means? If they can explain that to me in a succinct five-issue mini arc.
Let's get to the real
I'm
point.
Throw you off a roof.
The real point.
All right, we are talking about Obi-Wan and Anakin issue number one.
Oh my god!
Oh,
man, dope.
It's really good.
Oh, it's so good.
My first thing off, and I actually tried really hard while I was reading it to just tell myself, don't get angry that this should have been episode one. Just enjoy the comic.
You mean episode two?
Because it opens with that yellow text and is like.
The scrolling text.
The scrolling text. And I can't remember exactly what it says off the top of my head, but it's like, Qui-Gon, it doesn't even use Qui-Gon's name. It says, Obi-Wan is a Jedi Knight after defeating a Sith.
It does use Qui-Gon's name.
Yeah, it does.
His master, Qui-Gon, dies. Now he has to do this. And I was like, oh, they could have told me all of that. And then we could have just gotten into this, because it also sets up...
Oh, Okay, I'm with you. I see what you're saying.
Text told you everything you need to know about episode one.
That's a really good point.
I right away was just like, oh, so this is already going to be a stronger thing than episode one. I need to mentally, because I finished the Clone Wars over Christmas break, and
You're done?
Yeah.
Jesus, fuck.
I had a 20-hour delay at O'Hare. I had nothing else to do but burn.
That's true.
Yeah, I finished a season and a half just being like, when's my plane going to take off?
Wow.
And I skipped two or three story arcs that I didn't care for, because sometimes it gets into more kiddie, cartoony ones, and then it gets into real serious, dark ones, and I was like, I want those. Okay. But, I was like, I need to remind myself to just enjoy this show and not keep being like, well, it wasn't this W, because it's not. Like, you just have to accept it's not.
Totally.
Yeah. But I also, like, the other thing I love about coming back to that era is I do love seeing the Jedi in their prime. And I think that, like, in the prequels, they set up so many, like, there's a war going on, but it's being masterminded by this one guy who just has seen the failures of a democracy and is trying to make it an empire, paralleled with this Jedi Order that's supposed to be about peace and balance, but now they have to be soldiers, so they're losing their way. So now their most powerful Padawan is going, I don't want to do this, even though all he wanted to do was become a Jedi to save his mom, which he couldn't do. And now he's seeing that the thing that he abandoned his mother for, it's don't meet your heroes. It's not what he wanted it to be. And then someone else comes along and goes, I can give you new power. Do this instead, and we can rebuild where everything else broke.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's such an interesting... All of that is interesting.
And all the things I loved about, like, Kylo Ren in the new movie, having the battle, seeing the battle within him, they started doing that with Anakin in this comic. Because I was watching, I remember watching Force Awakens the first time and being like, man, I wanted to see more of this with Anakin. Like, I wanted more of Anakin doing this. I hope that this is what is in Obi-Wan and Anakin. And it was.
And it is. Well, and they also set up so quickly kind of the emotional arc for Anakin. They get to the planet and he's like, everything's dead. And he's like, why is everything dead? And Obi-Wan is like, they weren't part of the Republic, and the Republic didn't have anything they needed.
Yeah.
And needed is in bold. And Anakin's like, why didn't the Jedi help? The Jedi are under the Senate and the Republic. We can't do it. It's out of our jurisdiction.
Yeah.
And Anakin's like, but we're all about peace and helping people.
Yeah.
We need to change that. And I was like, there, that's all you needed.
Yep.
That was all you needed to do to make everything that Anakin is going through in Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith 200,000 times clearer.
Yeah, and that's why I love this, is because like all of the Extended Universe comics they've been building have been building this universe stronger. Like, it's only been adding to the prequels and explaining things that we were kind of confused about or unclear about. And you understand so much more of like what he does in episode 2 and episode 3 by reading this comic.
Yeah,
and to clarify, it's just this first issue. Like, it's a 5-part series, and this first issue in the first, 3 pages explains, like you said, explains everything we need to know, like, that happens between The Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones.
Right.
And now that I'm hearing it out loud, like, If you had just started with this in Phantom Menace, you're right, Blake. Like, that's a completely different franchise, or that's a completely different trilogy right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was always, for the longest time, I was like, I think.
And also, you cast someone that's not Hayden Christensen.
That would be good. That'd be great. Keep Ewan McGregor. He's great.
Yeah, of course.
And still somehow how work Qui-Gon Jinn in there, because he's awesome.
That's true. Yeah. He's also
great. The only thing. That, and I still love the pod racing scene. Those are the only two things about episode 1 that would have needed to, like, find their way into this
into
episode
flashbacks.
1 that you're talking about.
Okay. And that's just it. You could cut him in because I was going to say, well, you also lose Darth Maul, who people really like.
Ah, yeah.
But you get that moment. Like, it cuts, like you said, those first, I wrote it down, 3-5 pages of just, like.
You wouldn't totally lose him.
No.
Because he's in this one.
That's what I was literally just about to say.
I was like,
the next sequence is Anakin changes that droid to be Darth Maul.
Yeah, basically that hologram, like, training droid,
Which was awesome for a lot of reasons, and I wrote it down as I was like, he makes it Darth Maul, he's fighting his fear and his anger.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that Yoda was like, he's too angry and he has too much fear, we're not training him. And the first thing we see him do at the Jedi Temple is literally manifest that into something he can fight.
Yeah.
Right after we establish, he's taking a liking to a lightsaber. Which my girlfriend pointed out, what else do Jedis fight with? And I was like, I think what he means is, as opposed to being like peaceful, meditative, inwards, he's lightsaber focused and wants to fight.
Yeah.
And you also then also see, like, they give you everything you needed for that character, because then they're like, ha, he's just a slave. And he just pulls open their lightsabers and is like, what are you feeling? Talk to me.
Yeah, that was so
sick.
Badass.
That was awesome.
That was, and you see that a lot in the Clone Wars too, where when Anakin has to handle something, if he's alone, he'll just choke the person and throw him against a wall. And usually his Padawan, Ahsoka, is like, this is not what we're supposed to do. And he's like, it worked. And then they'll just move on.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like that they show him, he really wants to be good, but he has so much.
But he wants to do it in his own way.
Yeah.
Because he's like they said in the comic, he's a slave to his own emotions.
Yeah.
Right.
And people frustrate him, which is understandable.
People
like,
frustrate me. You two frustrate me every day. I don't know why I do this show. I mean, gosh, guys, sorry.
That's
I,
just impressive that we would
on...
do it every day. We don't see you every day.
Are you doing like a mental show with us every day in your head?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Every time that I have to like talk to you guys, it's just a burden.
Hey, Blake, want to hang out? Ugh, why did I do that again?
Well, when you take 4 hours to text me back.
I was doing stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Blake.
You were playing Mario Maker and eating Cheez-Its, let's be honest.
No, I wish I was.
Sounds awesome.
Believe me, if I'm not doing that, that's usually what I wish I'm doing.
I was actually, the whole time I was reading this issue, and I loved it, I was thinking something that I hadn't really thought about a lot. What would have been different if Qui-Gon had gotten to train Anakin?
I think going off of Tyler saying you want to do it in your own way, the big thing you get from Qui-Gon in The Phantom Menace is he's rebelling against the council, and Obi-Wan has that moment when he's like, yeah, if you would just follow their suggestions, you'd be on the council. And in the old expanded universe, they had that concept of being a gray Jedi where you would kind of flirt with light and dark and use, and you would balance. You were balanced was the idea.
Yeah.
And I think that was supposed to be Qui-Gon's first thing. And I think you're supposed to also see that a little bit with Obi-Wan. And the trick is that Anakin then falls.
Yeah.
Is that he has two people behind him who are like teetering. And if we go behind the lineage, we know that Qui-Gon was taught by Dooku, who also falls. So I think if Qui-Gon had trained it, it probably would have been the same thing. Because it, what it came down to for Anakin was the Senate doesn't work.
Yeah.
The Republic doesn't work. Mm-hmm. The Jedi doesn't work. All I want to do is go back and save my mom. She dies. I'm going to find somebody who has the power to save the people that I love.
And I'm going to just kill a bunch of kids.
And then I'm going to slaughter children in hopes of saving my own.
Gosh.
So do you think that whole concept of the gray Jedi is where we're going with Kylo Ren?
Actually, yes.
Yeah, that's because they're Jedi Knights and he's a Knight of Ren.
Mm-hmm.
That is my theory, is that we're going to have... And I was even thinking about it the last time I saw it, because I know one of the other... And we'll talk more about the comics soon, but this is also Star Wars related.
This is important.
It is important. But
it all ties in.
Yes. It's all canon.
Yep. As long as we don't talk about Shadows of the Empire or the Thrawn trilogy.
Shut up.
Not everybody, but every now and then you see people being like, oh, Rey's too perfect. She's too good. She doesn't have any flaws, blah, 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 blah. And the last time I was watching it is I was like, but Kylo Ren has so many flaws. And I think what they're doing, especially if you look at their costumes, because Star Wars has never been a subtle franchise.
It's a lot of symbolism and it pulls a lot from like old style films, old style science fiction, old style fantasy, Flash Gordon, and silent film.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, it pulls from everything.
Old Ronin movies, mythology, Greek stuff, Shakespeare. Yes. It pulls from things that were very obvious.
Yes.
Which isn't a bad thing.
Well, but it pulls from things that are things that we grew up with and we've learned about for years, which is why we think they're obvious.
I mean, to be fair, the guy who was evil was a big dark dude, and the guy who was good was wearing all white, and it was light side versus dark side. Even before that, it's pretty, but...
I just don't get why that's an argument for something being bad, is if it's obvious.
It's not, but my point
I know it's not. I know symbolism. You're not saying that. I just think, I don't understand why that's an argument.
Right. Yeah. And I'm not even saying that they're saying it's obvious. What I'm saying is that they're going, Rey is perfect, and I'm going, no, what they're doing with it is obvious. She's wearing, like, pure white.
Yeah.
Not like pure, but like light like colors, tan.
Yeah.
Kylo Ren is wearing all black. Even his hair is black. Yeah. Everything is black. And he is so conflicted and has so many flaws. And she is so pure that obviously where we're going with this is the middle.
Yeah.
The goal now is bring both of them to the middle.
I think they're going to be the balance together. Yeah.
And then they're probably, Snoke and Luke are probably going to fall, and then they'll start the new order together.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I wouldn't say that she has no flaws either. She just has flaws that are more accepted than being really, really angry and destroying shit like Kylo Ren.
Right.
Because one thing I kind of like about her is the fact that she's stubborn. And she doesn't like having help. She's always like, I can take care of myself. Like, I don't like help.
Or her big flaw is an inability to move forward. Because she wants to sit on Jakku and wait for people who aren't coming back. Yes.
In a lot of ways, I'm like, I get you, Rey. I mean, not that part. But, like, not wanting help. I'm always like, no, I'm good.
Well, I made an observation this time where I was like, I bet what actually her flaw, like her fatal flaw, is going to be... she has that moment when Han hands her the gun. And he's like, do you know how to use that? And she's like, yeah, point and shoot. And he's like, there's more to it. I bet since she's so good at everything that now while Luke is training her, she's going to be like, no, I get it. And he's going to be like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
And then she's going to go out. She's going to pull what Luke did and be like, I'm going to go to Cloud City and save my friends. And she's going to get whooped.
Yeah.
And Kylo Ren's going to come back fully trained by Snoke and whoop her.
Yeah.
And she's going to have to crawl back to Luke.
Because she doesn't. She right. thinks she learns. She knows she learns fast, and she doesn't like asking for help.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so getting back into the comic, the other thing we see that I think would have also helped the prequels more, but it also makes this book good, which is more important. You immediately see Palpatine's interest in Anakin.
Oh,
he's
my
watching
gosh.
This kid yep. fight. He's watching this kid lose his emotions, and he's like, "Send him to me."
And Mace Windu's like, "No, we're cool, bro. We're good." And Palpatine's like. They serve the Senate. So send him to me. And Mace Windu's just like, okay, well, I'm scared. I don't like any of this. But
which really helps.
Because he's smart.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, because Mace Windu saw everything as it was.
Mace Windu.
He's so good. I hope he gets a book, too. I'm sure he will.
Me too.
Everyone's going to get a book. But
with him and Jar Jar.
Oh, God.
Get out.
No, because he was talking about that earlier.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
The Clone Wars arc with them. Ugh. Why?
See, it was a callback to me saying, "Get out!" Or, you know what? Just both of you, just we're done.
Okay.
Wait, but I don't think we were recording when we did that. So that
no, yes, that's that was
going to
be
anybody.
My next point. Was Harley was making a callback to something off camera?
Yeah.
Off.
We were talking about mic. Before.
You don't have the power to stop this recording right now.
I know.
Why
and
would
I know
you?
That he just likes to flirt with it, to know that he could, at any moment, shut the whole thing down.
Tyler, we know that you have all the power, okay?
I know.
Unlimited power.
But
why
would
you
want to stop this train?
Right? But
this train has derailed.
A little bit. It's my favorite issue of any Star Wars, and it's completely off.
No,
but,
it's in a crazy train.
It is an amazing issue, but... Let's be honest, after those first four or five pages, there's nothing, like, super and integral to the entire, like, canon of Star Wars.
No, it really just
helps.
It kind
of just sets it sets it up for the next four issues.
It builds, yeah. Well, and that's the thing that I thought was interesting, what they chose to do. Because when it was over, I was like, oh, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what this comic's going to be about, but they spent so much time building, here's where Obi-Wan is, here's where Anakin is, here's what Palpatine wants. And the only other little thread we get is that Anakin wants to leave the Jedi Order.
Right.
And I was like, and it made me think like, oh, the story is going to be the backdrop to the like emotional setting. Like it's almost going to be Shakespearean in a way, or even like the original trilogy was like pretty simple story, but it's really the emotions and the themes. And it's about redemption, and it's about saving yourself, and it's about becoming something bigger and finding like all these things. So I was like, oh, that's what we're doing. We're not setting up the way, say, Lando set itself up, where it was like, here's this thing, here's what we're doing, we need it, go. Like that was your espionage, thriller, mystery, what are we doing? This is going to be your like Shakespearean drama.
Yeah.
Where what's going on around these characters is second fiddle to them, which is something else that I think would have actually made the prequels also strong, is if they had set the stage of giant galactic war that somebody is masterminding, but we cut through that to Anakin, who's the heart of it, going, what is right? What is wrong? I need to save the people I love. These people don't even want me to love her. I don't know. And then you would have also been able to reveal the other things with how the democracy failed and the empire rose.
Yeah.
It's all... Meanwhile, there was a secret genocide plot. Every now and then I think about the prequels and I'm like, there's so many great ideas and great things in motion.
There are great moments. There
and
was
just the execution.
They just dropped the ball.
Yep.
Because all the information that we learn from it is really, really important to what... Even now, when The Force Awakens, like, it's all still so important.
Well, and that was, like, it's the other side of the coin in The Force Awakens, right? It's the First Order just going, we don't like the Republic.
Yeah.
And instead of waiting for it to fail, like a criminal mastermind, they just blew it up.
Well.
Which is interesting. It's interesting to see, too, like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, Star Wars repeats themes. And it does, and it's supposed to. And I think that's really interesting. But it also almost shows that our own history repeats things and we go through these cycles and everything's going to go.
That's true.
I mean, if you even just look at our own like democracy of we go Republican in the White House, Democratic in the White House. We keep switching based on what we think isn't working.
Whenever people complain about the fact that it repeats itself, I'm like, guys, we all know that history repeats itself. It's been 30 years.
Well, I got on somebody, and like, I get it. You know what? I'm not going to pretend that The Force Awakens was perfect. I really, really enjoyed it. I could have done without a third Death Star type Star Killer base, but I liked it. And it was one of those things I said to somebody, I was like, here's the thing. Yes, they did it again, but the execution was really good. Mm-hmm. The acting was really good, and it looked really good. So I don't care.
And the throwback to the Star Killer.
And also felt different.
Right.
It felt different.
And how come, why does everybody have to complain about what the movie doesn't do? This is what you got. And what also, you got worked.
Yeah.
Like,
the point of this film wasn't to, there's never going to be pleasing everybody. So people need to just shut up.
That's true.
Like, that just needs to happen.
No, you can please every single person in the world if you are just that good at filmmaking.
Oh my gosh. Also, people need to remember that filmmaking is, yes, an art form. And you're not the artist. Sit back and enjoy what the artist did. But also, they were trying to bring back in the audience.
Right.
Like, literally, so many people hated the prequels so much. And you have all these people where the last new Star Wars movies that they had were these prequels that people no longer like. People have this huge hatred for them. They're like, it's all about the original trilogy. I hate the prequels. So now you're trying to get the audience, who hated all the last few films, back in. So you literally have to, in one film, remind people why they love Star Wars.
Right.
Make them feel the nostalgia, make them feel the love for it again, and introduce new characters. Did it do all those things? Yes.
Which on that, and I know a lot of the comics have done this, but if that Obi-Wan comic, with just the way they framed things and designed things and set up, like, to me, and I talked about it on this podcast and on our other one, I was like, to me, Star Wars always had, and it's actually the one thing that I wish The Force Awakens had more of, which is the mythology, the philosophy, the moments of, like, this is a Jedi's weapon, the Force surrounds us, binds us, holds the galaxy together, you're not ready, blah, blah, all the things that it just didn't, it just didn't have time to do it, nor did it have the character to do it in it.
I think it will soon.
It will, because now Luke's back.
Because also, we gotta remember, and I keep telling people this, whenever anybody talks to me about Star Wars, I'm like, guys, remember, this is just the first part of a 3-part story.
Right. But,
so there's so much more that we're going to see and that we're going to do, and it's going to be awesome. And they're gonna do lots of the things that you want them to do.
But that was, like, this issue, just everything about it, had that. It had, like, the philosophy. It had what the Jedi's purpose is. It had why they do it that way and what the Force is and what it means.
So much information.
And knowing where Obi-Wan ends up, and both in Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, and all of them, even Obi-Wan flirts. He's closer to Anakin than he is to, like, Yoda. Like, he's not a true North character. And I think that this, I'm hoping that this one will also start to challenge him. Because it felt,
I hope so too.
It felt like where everybody else were like, oh my God, I can hear these characters talking. Obi-Wan, to me, has always kind of had that, like, it's almost like a jokey kind of, like, he almost does the, like, Spider-Man, Iron Man thing where he's just kind of jokes about people all the time.
Yeah.
Like, in the first one, it's, no one likes the joke, but he's like, well, you were right about one thing, Master. The negotiations were short. Like, he's always just kind of being, like, snippy and fun,
That was a pretty good Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan.
It wasn't bad.
Right? Yeah. Or when he's like, he does... My fear is when Anakin's like, this is like the 10th time I've saved you. And he's like, ninth time. That business on Mattisar, that doesn't count. He's always had this, like, sense of humor about his duty. And you don't really see that in this. Like,
duty.
Like, he feels so much more in this issue that he is like, we need to learn, we need to teach, and you're going to take... He gives him back his lightsaber, too, which I thought was interesting. Which means they've been talking about it, and for some reason Anakin was like, I don't want this. And I'm hoping that we keep cutting back to that moment when he's like, you're right, I do need to control my emotions. And we stay on this planet because I really want to know why Anakin made that choice.
Yeah.
And what's going to go down that makes him be like, I need to do this. But also, what changes Obi-Wan?
What made Anakin want to leave?
Right. Well, you feel like in this one that he's trying so hard to live up to Qui-Gon. Yeah. And in Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, you don't. So something must go down in this story that makes him either, like, learn to let go of that, or he's just like, he's right, maybe things do need to change.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm the one to do that. Do you guys have any final thoughts or anything else to...
Nope.
Cool.
Pretty much covers it.
Also, I think the last note is it's interesting that they were sent there by somebody asking for Jedi help, but the people don't know who Jedi are.
Yeah, mm-hmm, they get to the planet, mm-hmm, people are like, what are Jedi?
Oh, it's gonna get so good, guys. They're so good. Okay, with that, we will wrap up, and we will come back to catch up with some original trilogy stuff, see how Vader Down is doing.
Vader Down.
So we're gonna go from Anakin as a small, innocent child to him murdering people in a matter of seconds. Welcome back, guys, to the Star Wars Book Club podcast. In our final segment, we'll be talking about Darth Vader number 14, or Vader Down Part 4 of 6, I hope.
Yes.
Yes, excellent.
Yes.
More.
Can I say something real quick?
You can.
If anyone has found a Rey Black Series figure and wants to sell it for not an insane amount of money... Please hit me up on my Twitter. We'll say what it is at the end of the episode. But goddamn, I need that figure, and I don't want to spend $80 on it.
That's true. Or you can just gift it to me, and I'll just like tease him with it.
That would be so mean.
That would be so rude. At the very least, give him the BB-8 that comes with it.
Just send it to me, guys.
But I want it all.
I know. I want one of the Black Series ones I've been holding. I mean, you can't find Rey. She's on Amazon and everything for super expensive. You can't find a lot of the Black Series people anyways. But Finn or Rey, they haven't released one yet that has a lightsaber with them. And I'm like, I got to hold out in case there's a lightsaber
one. They've got like that die-cast 6-inch Rey figure that's got a lightsaber. Yeah. You can buy it off Disney's website right now. It's pretty dope, but I want the Black Series.
I know, but I want it to match my Kylo Ren and my Stormtrooper.
Me too, buddy. Me too. I'm with you. I'm just saying, there's options out there.
Excellent.
You guys both collect more toys than me.
We do.
Yes.
Have you seen my wall?
Harley, I'm not going to lie. That doesn't surprise me, because we have what we call problems. Just the one. It's toy collecting.
Well... I may have a slight drinking problem, but...
Well, I wasn't going to say it here, but join us on our newest podcast, The Interventions.
I still think we should do Meals on Wheels as a podcast.
That would be great.
I'm down.
Patent pending, that you can't patent a podcast name, but shut up. Just go into the thing.
All right,
why
guys.
Are you letting me talk so much about dumb shit?
I don't know. It pleases me.
Oh, well, that's nice to hear, actually.
So Vader Down 14, okay. Guys. How did we feel about it?
Loved it. Santee.
There was so much Santee, and the whole time I read it, I just thought about Tyler. I was just like, oh my god, he's losing his shit right now while he's reading this.
I almost fell out of my chair.
I'm going to let Tyler talk about Santee then.
Yes.
So, if you remember a few weeks ago when we were talking on the show... And I don't remember exactly what the basis for the conversation was, but I just remember I went on like a 5-minute rant about how I needed to see more Black Chrysanthemum or Santee.
He has a full name.
And we finally got that. Thank the fucking Lord, because he is still awesome. I'm skipping to nearly the end of the fucking issue, but
that's okay.
He picks up Chewie over his head and throws him. It's amazing.
It was so amazing.
And I love that Han was like, you go, Luke. We got this.
2-on-1, we're going to be fine. And then you just see Santee like holding Chewbacca over his fucking head. And Han's like, I hope.
I always love, whether it's a comic, a movie, anything, when there's one character that you know is like the strongest.
Yeah.
And then there's just that one person who shows up and is like, nope. Like...
Give me any kind of toy. I don't care if it's Black Series. I don't care if it's one of those, like, big-ass 18-inch fucking ones that you find at Toys R Us. I don't care. Just give me anything related to this fucking character. I will buy all of it.
You should buy a Black Series Chewie and send it to those guys we follow on Instagram who do the custom amiibos and see if they'll make a Santee for you.
No.
He wants a real Santee.
Yeah.
Well, this will tie you over.
No.
But okay, let's be honest. obviously the Star Wars / comic book gods really listened to you, because after you did that rant, one issue that's later,
true.
You got like basically...
means we're moving up in the world.
You got literally tons and tons yes. of Santee.
Obviously, all the writers and artists of these comics were listening.
And I also
to this
got my 3PO 000 face off.
Yes, you did.
Which
yes, you
is
did.
An amazing moment in this book.
And the cover for the next issue, that's Invader Down, is literally a cover of Chewie and Santee fighting. So,
well,
like,
you know that's
going to
be the focus because they seem to be going when it's Vader's comics, focus on Vader. When it's Star Wars in the crossover, focus on the other guys.
He's just too. He was just too fucking cool of a character to utilize in like 1.5 issues and then not talk about him ever again. I was like,
and who does he hang out with?
Boba Fett.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's helped Aphra out a few times now. He was doing the like when they were stealing the like crystals earlier on. Yeah. He was helping with that.
But he was really only in like 2 issues.
I know. Yeah. I'm just.
But that was my point. It's just like there's no. He was way too cool to not bring back.
Yep. Oh yes.
And now I want an entire book about him, and I want all the toys.
Guys, Santee versus Chewie.
We should just have, like, cosplay costumes, and you definitely have to be Santee. Can I be Boba Fett? Who do you
want
to be?
Sure.
I know who he wants to be.
Who do I want to be?
BB-8.
No. His favorite evil droid.
I could be Triple Zero. Triple
Zero? Yeah. So that would be awesome.
He'd be Triple Zero. I could be Boba Fett. You'd be Santee.
Guys, I was going to say, if I'm picking, I would love to be just Jedi Luke, but if we're going with the deeper cuts from the comics, I will happily be Triple Zero.
Oh my God.
It's going to be great. Watch for us at San Diego Comic-Con.
If we get fucking in.
I know.
Anyway,
we need to remember that we can do that for free now because we do this podcast.
Oh, I got like an email. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, well, actually, we do.
Yes.
We really need to talk about it. Anyway, yeah, I love everything with Santee in it. He's only in a couple of pages, but it was such an awesome like reveal that he's back. Basically, I was over the moon.
Also, his way of bringing down the Millennium Falcon was to crash a
he
ship
just crashed
into
his
it.
Ship into it. It was awesome.
He's a badass.
And
I love him.
And Han and Luke are just like, what the fuck was that?
I just love that Han's like, we're not leaving Leia to die on her own, kid. We got, nope. Like,
yep.
Han had a lot of moments where he was trying to be Han and somebody else, and the universe was just like, not today, Solo.
Also, can we touch on the fact that Leia, basically, in this comic, was willing to just sacrifice herself for everybody.
Oh,
that was
that's
awesome
gonna be my next. Yeah. Well,
oh my
it's
gosh.
Not my next, but we jumped to my Santee note. But my note before that,
I apologize.
No, man,
it was just so important.
I knew
me.
It was important to you, and that's why I was like, I'm throwing it to Tyler for some Santee talk. Tyler Barry prevents.
I'm just gonna
Santee
do a whole
says.
Podcast alone about Santee.
Yes,
he'll just
Santee cast.
Santee cast.
Yes. But yeah, I love my note for actually what you brought up just says Leia is awesome. But yeah, no, it was
you
great.
You write notes how I write notes.
I don't write notes, I just
talk. How do rocks fuck up the thing?
For anybody who doesn't know that reference, they should probably go listen to Hollywood Already Did It.
Episode
our other
1,
podcast.
Fantastic Four or Fantastic Snore.
Oh my God.
Guys, here's a spoiler alert. It's a snore.
Anyway.
Anyways. Oh, God.
This is what happens when we podcast while drinking.
This is what happens when we haven't done it in 2 weeks because of the holidays. And we're just.
We all missed each
we're
other.
We're just pent up.
I actually really did miss you guys, by the way.
I know, right?
Oh, I missed you guys too.
But yeah, it was really good to see Leia in a way. Like, she's always fighting back. Like, no matter when we see her, like, she's never been the, like, come save me, I'm the princess. Like, they really, in a way, in Star Wars, if they're falling into tropes, they took the princess in the castle trope and just went, nah, what if they get there and she's just like, I don't care. Give me your gun into the garbage chute, flyboy.
It's really interesting, though, because it's one of those few times besides at the beginning of A New Hope where we really see Leia, like, on her own.
Yeah.
Like, you don't... I mean, you do know because... You know when this, we know when this takes place, and we know that Leia's not gonna die, but it's like, in her mind, she doesn't know if anyone is coming to have her back or not.
And she's willing to sacrifice herself for what's more important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, she goes, I will die. You blow it up because it's more important that you destroy Vader to save Luke.
You'll kill me, but you won't kill what we stand for. Yeah. That was my favorite part of
that. That was the best line.
That was great. Also, the line that... like that got me was it was when Vader was like, your death will not be like Alderaan's. It will not be swift.
Yeah.
It will be, and I don't even think he finished this his statement. Like he's like, it will not be swift like,
and that's when
Alderaan.
He,
it will yeah. be, and then Leia and then was he, gone because yeah. then Leia like kind of faked him out basically.
Well, yeah. he gets that sense. He's like, you can't sneak up on a Dark Lord, and he turns around, and she's like, you're so muddled in your own darkness uh-huh. that your mind is weak, and she
so
runs.
That's interesting because I took that just a slightly different way because when you see that one panel, like Leia's like purposely looking over his shoulder.
Yes,
I thought he was trying to read her, and he read her, and then was like, "Really, you think you can ambush me?"
Yeah,
I didn't read it as he just got like a tick, basically. Like
I thought it was because I just assumed that it meant that either like Luke was about to show up and yeah. he has the Force, or that Carbon or Evil Ackbar was like there, that he was sensing
okay.
all that.
Yeah, I interpreted
it
differently.
I read it the same way that
did you?
Tyler
okay.
did.
All right.
Hmm.
Well, like Leia, if you too. Look at the panel closely, Leia's looking past
yeah.
him over,
over
his
shoulder. Yeah.
And then he turns and goes, really? You think you could ambush me? And there's no one there.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
And she's running off the other direction. He's like, you know what? Fine. Go.
Just
bring the boy to me.
Bring me
Luke.
The boy.
Yeah,
because
well,
the interesting thing about yeah. that, when we leave off on that scene, he's like ready to just take her down. Mm-hmm. Like he's got his lightsaber out. He's got his hand up. He doesn't want to wait. And then he's in that same position. And then, like, they did a really good job of showing it that, like, they made it wide enough for both of them are in the frame. And her comlink goes off. And Han's like, Luke and I are on our way. I have Luke.
Yeah.
And then he turns his lightsaber off. And that's why I assumed that he was like, your death's not going to be swift. You're my ticket to get the boy.
Yeah.
Like, he was originally just going to be like, great, I'm going to cut you down. And then he hears that and is like, nope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Change of plans. And I wonder if that's also why he turned then. If he saw her looking, heard the thing about Luke, and was like, here comes the Falcon. Like, you can really set that up because they bridge that in such a good way.
Yeah.
Because if he hears, like, oh, we're coming over the comm.
Yeah.
And then he sees her doing the eye thing, then he's going to be like, really? But yeah, I definitely read it as, like, he senses the way, like, he was like, I sense something when he senses Obi-Wan. But it could be a lot of things. Because Carbon does roll in with his purple lightsaber.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Where did he get that? Where did he get a purple goddamn lightsaber?
He was one of
besides, well, that's why I'm wondering, because who was the only other person that we know who had a purple lightsaber?
Mace Windu.
Mace Windu, who fell to
real death. Far. He fell. He went. So, he didn't just fall. He got jettisoned out of a building.
Yeah, and so like I'm there going, my first reaction was, Mace Windu. Oh no, this can't be Mace Windu. And
I know. Then, I thought the same thing. I saw the purple lightsaber yeah. stab through him, and I was like, oh shit, it's Mace.
No, it can't be. And then my response was, wait, it can't be. So who has his lightsaber?
I don't know that.
But
it's
like embedded. It's embedded in Commander Carbon's like arm. So
yeah.
I don't even know if it's like, is it a legitimate lightsaber?
Well, he was one of the guys
that was fighting.
That was fighting with
Vader.
The twins.
Yeah.
So he was one of,
he was
in that, whatever. I'd have to look at the issue again of what they were calling that. The guy who was like, these are the next Jedi. So he's part of that thread.
Where Palpatine was making Vader fight all those people.
Right.
I don't know anymore. I know that in the old EU, Mace Windu, the power crystal that made his was supposed to be like either super rare or the last one. And that's why he was the only one with the purple. And I also remember that the purple was supposed to represent like you flirt a little bit. Like
not just because
you're not true.
Samuel Jackson was like,
well, it's,
I want a purple one.
It was the old, that was what it was, but the old Star Wars EU.
I want that purple stuff.
Had to give you, like,
I was about to say something terrible.
I know
you were.
The old EU had to give you a detail about anything and everything they could find, so that was worked in. So I was like, oh, I wonder And I don't know anymore. Like, now they can just go to wherever the crystals are and maybe they just pick a color. But what I think is interesting is that this is the first time in any Star Wars canon, outside of when Anakin had just turned in Revenge of the Sith, that a person who is not nice doesn't have a red lightsaber.
Yes.
Because the other two twins that went up against Vader were yellow and green.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is one of the few times that we've actually seen that not matter.
And I mean, honestly, I like to think that maybe it's still Mace's lightsaber.
It would be cool.
Which would make it so much more evil.
I do like that it's part of him. That he just worked it into his, like, body. That it isn't him grabbing it. But yeah, that's so interesting. Yeah. I'm so curious to see how all of that goes. Because I have such a weird hang-up with introducing too many lightsabers and Jedis in between Sith and A New Hope. Because when A New Hope rolls around, I'm usually like, I want it to just be Yoda, Obi, Luke, Palpatine, and Vader. Because in my mind, I'm like, well, they're fighting for balance.
Yeah.
They're fighting for this. It's supposed to be the return of something. Yoda's a pretty smart guy, so if Kanan's still kicking around, he should probably have... He's not being quiet either in Rebels or in the comic. He should know about it. If, like, Anakin's Padawan Ahsoka is running around, you'd think that she would want to hang out with the Rebels and help.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, at some point, it's actually something that was my logic with a lot of things when I was a kid with the prequels or out, where I was like, well, all of these people have to die for A New Hope to stay as good as it is. But I don't, but it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, they're doing something that I usually don't like, but they're doing it so well that now I'm just curious.
You're like, no, I can't.
And you know that Vader's going to whoop Robo Akbar.
Yep.
And whenever these twins show, he's going to demolish them.
Yep.
And I'm sure, sadly, at some point, if Kanan and Ahsoka's stories and Rebels have to end, they're not going to, you know, they're not hanging out on Hoth. They're not.
Yeah.
Like, but, oh, going, we're jumping around this comic a lot, but yeah, Leia's stuff was great. That whole sequence was great because it gave you so much depth of the characters and who they are and what they're fighting for. And then you get that bit going back to the 3PO 000 fight. One, he doesn't even knock him down. He's just like, oh, alms, and just takes them.
Like, yeah, what was that
like? What was that like flash of light that BT threw out there?
I kind of just assumed that it was like a flashbang.
Huh, okay.
That's how I read it. That you just, because at first I was like, oh, they're going to just blind him and then mess him up. But then he just woke up and didn't have his arms. And I was like, oh, maybe he just flashbanged him so that they could just like take the arms out in a way that they could attach them to him without like being like, and just ripping it off. And then they just left him.
But now where is he going to get arms?
He gets his red ones.
No.
I am sure, Harley, I am sure that they will go try to help Santi, and I am sure that Chewbacca will rip his arms off.
See,
and
that is pretty funny, though, that it's Super like, Geo. it's like weird foreshadowing to something that's going to happen way later, where he loses
an arm
for good.
Also, my friend who I saw Star Wars with when I was home, who's my old boss at GameStop, was like, oh, do you think Kylo Ren lost an arm in the lightsaber fight? And I was like, no, he didn't. If you watch closely, there's something that got cut off next to him, but I think it's just like part of his cape.
Yeah, it was I watched it again.
Yeah.
And when I watched it again, I was like watching to see how injured he was. She stabs him like in the arm.
It's to give him the scar on the face.
She gets his leg a little bit, but she doesn't cut
anything also
off.
If they cut something off, it would have been prominent.
Yeah.
Like they would have shown it. But he was like, oh, you know what would be awesome? You know how they're always talking about how, like, Wookiees rip arms off if they lose? What if Kylo Ren's, like, just fighting Luke and real distracted, and since he killed Han, Chewbacca gets his revenge and just rips his arm out? And I was like, that would be amazing, actually.
That'd be awesome.
To just watch, like, Adam Driver just be like, now, Luke, you'll understand why the dog says, oh, God! Oh, God!
Also,
he could be like Mustafa in Austin Powers and just be like, my arm! I'm very badly injured.
Because we haven't seen, we know that Wookiees can rip people's arms off, but I kind of want to see it happen. Whether in a comic or a movie, like, we haven't seen it happen. I want to see.
I'm sure now that he will Triple Zero will just walk blissfully into that battle with Santi, and Chewie will be like, those arms belong to my buddy. Pop! And then R2 will sew him back together and be snarky, as he is one to do.
Yep.
But there were a lot of just great moments. I also loved the little, the Tarkin initiative.
Yeah.
When, it was a really funny joke, but I just loved how he was like, well, that battle didn't go in our favor quite at all. Yeah, thanks for the tactical advice there, Triple Zero. That Tarkin initiative really paid off. And at first I was like, oh, that's funny. And then I was like, oh my God, what's the Tarkin initiative? Oh my God, it's because he was brilliant. He must have made a program with all of his tactics and just ways that he thought and put it into droids. And now I need more. Because Tarkin is my favorite bad guy in A New Hope.
But what did your note say? Because your note was awesome.
My note for the Tarkin initiative is Tarkin initiative ? Because I was planning on writing, what is it? And instead I wrote, both funny and also in all caps, dope. Because Tarkin is awesome.
I like that note.
It's a good note.
It's a good note.
I had that followed by Leia is awesome. Oh, and then I had, this is a weird thing to even bring up, but I noticed it. It's twice now that Vader has referred himself in this story as a Sith Lord, which we never hear them say unless it's in the prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
And I like that they're mixing their mythologies. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes
it
more fluid.
Because I know that a lot of people were like, but they're just Dark Jedi, and now they're calling them Sith. And I was like, well, I think obviously Palpatine, he wants it to kind of be under wraps that he's a Sith forever.
Yeah.
Forever and ever and ever and ever. So he obviously was probably like, Vader, don't go running around saying that we're Sith Lords. Just don't. Think that, make everyone think that you're what's last of the religion. Mm-hmm. That would be better. Yes. None of this Sith.
He is a good Palpatine. Like, it's weird.
I can do Palpatine and Obi-Wan if I try real hard.
That's it, though.
It's balance. Well, it's real hard to do Han Solo and Luke. They sound like normal dudes. I don't have a deep enough voice for Vader, but yeah, I thought that I liked that they kind of, that he wasn't just like, I'm a Dark Jedi, that he was like, you think you can just walk up on a Sith Lord? And I was like, that's awesome. Everything is connected and it is fluid and it works. Yay. Awesome. Well, we've got two more parts left. Things are going to get great. We still haven't seen this Jedi temple, which is like why Luke is there.
Yep.
I do like that that became the thing in A Force Awakens.
I did too.
I thought about that where I was like, oh, well, this is what he was doing in between 4 and 5.
There's a lot of connections.
Yeah.
Like the part where she, because someone was like, I don't like that she like touched it and like she saw visions. And I was like, well, if you're reading the comics, like there's a point where Luke walks into a room full of Jedi artifacts and they all just like float in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Like right. This is a thing if you read the comics.
Right.
Like it's not as ridiculous when you're reading all the extended universe.
Yeah. Awesome. Are there any other points you guys want to bring up or shall we?
Guys, go read them. Go read all of them.
Also, I just want to announce that I believe this is our first ever episode where Blake Schultz has not mentioned Spider-Man.
Yes, it is. Oh, my God. We should give him a prize or something. Yes.
No.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
His prize is us not stealing this show away from him.
Oh.
That's
But
well,
it was my
accurate.
Idea.
Yeah, and also we're paying for our LLC together, so I don't think I can steal it away from you legally. But damn it.
Excellent. Ah, the law. Always helping me out.
And you're also using my Spider-Man coaster. God damn it, I hate you sometimes.
To be fair, this one was just on top of your stack of coasters.
Sure it was, buddy.
I didn't dig it out. You also have the Hulk, Wolverine, and Cap. Those are all perfectly fine people to put my drink on.
They're all great. Why don't you take us out, baby?
All right. Well, guys, thanks for listening. Yeah. Like us, subscribe right there on iTunes. It's a real easy button to press. And then leave us a real nice review if you want.
Yo, can I announce something real quick?
Again.
If you don't like us, leave us a review. But don't leave us a review just because we don't like the prequels that much.
Did that happen? I haven't read any of them.
We have, not to toot our own horn, but all of our reviews are 5 stars. And then there's 1 2-star review that's just, and they don't like the prequels. They're fucking great. And that's all he wrote.
It was really funny, though.
It's quite comedic.
Well, whoever this person is probably doesn't continue to listen because, like, I have never been like, I hate them. I've actually defended them multiple times.
I was
going
to say, we never really ever sat down to be like, they're garbage.
Attack of the Clones.
Yes. Well, that was because it's garbage.
Everyone knows that.
But guys, the Boba Fett moment.
But I love Revenge of the Sith. I will
unapologetically. I know you do. You've been sucking Revenge of the Sith's dick for the past few weeks, actually.
Like, yeah, hard.
Like, it's the most I've ever seen you, like they're really in a serious love relationship. That. Yeah, like, you're blowing that thing six ways from Sunday.
I know. I don't know why.
I don't either.
I think it's because I watch.
I do like it now that I've watched it again, but you are just on another level with
that. Yeah, Blake's blushing while we're talking about
it. He is.
Getting very warm.
Blake's actually masturbating
guys, don't
right
let
now.
Revenge of the Sith know God. How I feel. I want to tell it when I'm ready.
Well, stop masturbating in front of us and we won't talk about it.
Oh, but it's hard.
We know it's hard. That's
a double entendre for why somebody would be. Okay, anyways. You should like us on Facebook at the Star Wars Book Club podcast. You should follow us on Twitter at SW Book Club. You should listen to our other podcasts, Hollywood Already Did It and Two Player Split Screen. You should follow me on Twitter at QuakeBorder55. You should follow all of us on Instagram at Modern Nostalgia Productions. You can follow Harley at...
You can follow me at Miss Harley R on literally everything. Everything. Thanks, baby.
And you can send Tyler his Santi figure
or
at...
Or you could just send it to me.
Shut the hell up, Harley. You can hit me up at the tie game. If you've got any of those Black Series figures that I need, hit me up. I will pay for them, but I will not pay $80 for them because I'm not a goddamn moron. Also thank you guys seriously for listening to this because our downloads go up and up every single month since we've been doing this show. Woo! And it just makes us want to do this even more. Yeah, so more. Thank you guys seriously.
You guys rock. If you listen
I know,
to
right?
us... Thank you. We love you. We love you so much.
We're so stupid and just dumb and not professional at all. Oh, yeah. And the fact that people actually download this consistently, it really makes us happy. So.
Also, big shout out for, I don't know if y'all saw on our Twitter, there was this guy, Podern Family.
Yeah.
He retweets a bunch of podcasts. It's a big community for anybody doing podcasts. He's just a big supporter. He listens. He helps out. So if anybody else has a podcast, whenever you tweet, do a hashtag Podern Family or tweet at him, and he's real nice. Lots of retweets, lots of at mentions, real good people. Also, if you're going to send somebody a toy, send it to Tyler. Harley doesn't need it. She's got people bringing her toys at her comic shop.
Yeah,
she's got
people bringing her pickles. She's got people bringing her toys, and that wasn't a euphemism.
Yeah, guys. Yeah, that. Yeah, really.
You're
one getting, time.
She's got. She's got enough pickles. Stalkers. I would like a few stalkers, please. God damn it.
You're getting all sorts of good things.
I'm a handsome man.
I still remember our first episode we did. Harley texted me and she's like, "I just got 20 new Instagram followers. We must be doing good on the podcast." And I was like, "One, I didn't get any Instagram followers, and neither did the Modern Nostalgia Productions one. So send them to Tyler."
Guys, why are you hating on me? I do my job.
No
well.
One's hating on you.
I do my
We're
job
actually
well.
if you
stop
really
being jealous.
If you actually listen to that, those were thinly veiled compliments. God damn it!
I love you guys.
I love you
I know
too.
We love you too, and we love our listeners. Goodbye.
And look for Meals on Wheels, the food truck podcast coming Yum. Soon. Love you guys. Bye.